26 to order, and I will call the roll.
Vice Chair Wilkerson?
Here.
Commissioner Vargas?
Here.
Commissioner Banta?
Here.
Commissioner Beaumont?
Here.
Commissioner Dingman?
Here.
Commissioner Hampton?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Everyone, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I will ask Commissioner Vargas to lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll now go to item three on the agenda, which is the swearing in of appointed planning commissioner. Newly appointed Commissioner Leroy, please stand for your swearing in. I will ask the city clerk, Thornburg, to administer the oath of office.
Do solemnly swear.
To support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic. And I will bear true faith and allegiance. To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And to the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely. Without any mental reservation. Or purpose of evasion. And that I will well and faithfully. Discharge the duties. Upon which I'm about to enter. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome. We'll now move to item four, election of officers. This evening, we have the election for chair and for vice chair of the Planning Commission for 2026-2027. We will first nominate and elect the chair, then do for the same for the vice chair. Following the nominations, we will take a brief break to shuffle seats. I will now open the floor for discussion among my fellow commissioners on nominating a chair, and then we will entertain a motion. I will now take nominations for chair.
Commissioner Wilkerson for chair.
Okay, we have a nomination for Commissioner Beaumont. We have a first by Commissioner Beaumont. We have a second by Commissioner Hampton. Discussion?
Did a good job as vice chair. We expect the same as chair.
Absolutely.
I have higher expectations.
Okay. Well, I will.
Yeah.
Commissioner Lightfoot for his time at the Planning Commission. I think his last meeting we actually were kind of
yes.
So just saying goodbye to Commissioner Lightfoot, and again, I would support
Commissioner Wilkerson as chair.
Yep.
Yes, I echo the sentiments. Commissioner Lightfoot, thank you for all that you did. I accept the nomination, and we will now call for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Vargas?
Yes.
Commissioner Banta? Commissioner Beaumont?
Yes.
Commissioner Dingman?
Yes.
Commissioner Hampton?
Yes.
Commissioner Leroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Wilkerson?
Yes. You gotta vote for yourself. We will now open the floor discussion among my fellow commissioners on nominating a vice chair, and then we'll entertain a motion. I will now take nominations for a vice chair.
While I'm hot, I'll nominate Ashley Banta, Commissioner Banta, vice chair.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a first from Commissioner Beaumont and a second Commissioner Vargas on the nomination of Commissioner Banta for vice chair. Any discussion? Well, Ashley's been here, I think this is her second time as a planning commissioner. She's done a fantastic job. Very good attendance, asked great questions, so I think she'd do a great job as vice chair.
And I will add, you can't find a better advocate up here on the commission, so I think it's appropriate. So
I will now ask for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Vargas?
Yes.
Commissioner Banta?
Yes.
Commissioner Beaumont?
Yes.
Commissioner Dingman?
Yes.
Commissioner Hampton?
Yes.
Commissioner Leroy?
Yes.
Chair Wilkerson?
Yes. Thank you. Do we need to take a break? or anything? 5 minute break? Okay. We will now take a short 5 minute break. I will now restart the Planning Commission meeting, and we will come back to item 5, communications. At this time, I will ask Assistant Director Garcia if there are any communications or announcements for this evening's meeting.
Thank you, Chair Wilkerson. We don't have any announcements for tonight.
Awesome, thank you. We will move on to item 6, approval of this evening's agenda. Do I have a motion and then a second to approve the agenda?
Make a motion.
Got a motion from Commissioner Dingman. I have a second from Commissioner Vargas. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great, we'll move on to item 7, business from the floor. This portion of the agenda is available for the public to address the Planning Commission on any issue that is not on the agenda. There will be a limit of 3 minutes per speaker. I welcome anyone who wishes to address the commission regarding a topic or issue that is not on the agenda this evening to please approach the podium. I'll now open business from the floor.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Mike Whitley. I am a member of the Tran Gang in Roberts Ranch, and I'm here about the A&P Children's Fund development, specifically the establishment of a quiet zone. I want to thank Claudia Garcia for her help on working on this. Per the noise element policy NOI P1.1 of the general plan, bullet 6, where the noise source in question consists of intermittent single events, the report must address the effects of maximum noise levels in sleeping rooms in terms of possible sleep disturbance. The current measured levels inside of Roberts Ranch exceed that limit of 45 decibels by 21 decibels. This is a big problem. This is a known issue now, and quite frankly, would end up having to be on legal disclosures to any prospective buyers for A&P Children's Fund. And to finish up, I'd like to just offer up the words of.
Very annoying. For example, one time I went to the back room, and the train was so loud, it scared the heck out of me. The train also does not let me sleep. I plan to wake up early in the morning, and then they're canceled because I can't sleep. And one time I just got in my bed and the train honked so loud I ran out of my room. The train does not honk once, but three times it sounds like, I don't like it, please stop. My grandmother lives with us, it's very hard for her to sleep.
One time when I was almost asleep, a train came and it honked its horn. Sometimes when I go to the backyard, it scares me. I can't sleep because of the train.
Yes, it's really loud. It's hard for me to talk to my friends. It's literally like so loud that I think it's gonna run me over. And it feels like it's like thunder or something. It's like going through our house, and it's really loud, and it really annoys me when I'm doing my homework, and it's really hard, and for me to go to bed. Thank you for listening.
My name is Jaden. I live at Rock Ranch, and I can really hear the horn of the train at nighttime. It's really hard for sleeping.
So the underlying point on this is that these children, in the 3 years that we have lived there, have been subjected to 20,000 crossings at night, disturbing their sleep.
Sir, thank you for your time.
I'm sorry?
Thank you for your time. Your time is up.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commission. My name is Sean Pointer. I'm with the train gang as well, and I live at Robert Ranch. This is what I have to wear at night, so I don't hear the train. I also have to wear earplugs, so I don't hear the train. The headset is worn at night because it goes all hours of the night. I mean, it's all day and all night. And I moved here over 2 years ago, and the train noise put me at David Grant twice. I have PTSD. I got triggered. I went to David Grant. I was 5150'd. I'm a 29-year combat veteran, deployed 5 times. I've been around the trauma, living in a war environment, and seeing a lot. Thank God for the VA for helping me. I was in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, home base, Travis Air Force Base, but I've been sent to the Middle East many times. Since I've got back, I've had 2 bouts of cancer, struggled with mental and physical issues. I have PTSD, fight or flight syndrome, and many other health issues from serving in combat for my country. I moved to Vacaville because I heard the city in supports its veterans, and I moved out to Robert Ranch because it was supposed to be a quiet area. Nobody told me about the loud train noise running all day and all night. I've had a hard time falling asleep because I have fight or flight, and the trigger of the train noise sets me off. I must take sleeping pills, wear headgear, hearing plugs, which are very uncomfortable to sleep at night. I have to get a major surgery in May, and not looking forward to hearing loud train noise 24/7 while I recover for 4 to 6 weeks. Anyway, I'm not going to point fingers at anybody anymore. Even the City of Vacaville General Plan Noise Ordinance wasn't compiled to before the construction of Robert Ranch. And I'm not blaming it, as they say, on bullfrogs. I would like the situation be solvable. Like we do in the military, when we're at war, we make things happen, fixing things that go wrong. And this issue of the Vacaville General Plan not dealing with the train ordinance is a problem that needs to be fixed. I'd like to see a quiet zone implemented at the train crossing at Fry Road with the help of the city and the county so I can get a good night's sleep in my new home and get better health. It's not just for me, but it's for the neighbors who have small children, as you just heard. And they are our future, so it will affect them. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your service. Good evening.
My name is Ramon Campa, and I also am a resident of Roberts Ranch. I'm here as a concerned Vacaville citizen over the train noise on Fry Road. So about 40 trains approximately in both directions pass by every 24 hours. And even though it minimizes a little bit in the morning, what I mean morning, between like 12 and 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, you know, it starts up again. Anyway, so I'm just here to communicate that our health, sanity, and ability to sell our homes is at risk. So also here to support the implementation in any way of the quiet zone, because that'll make our lives so much better. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
So I'm here on the proposed mosque center down there on Bush Street. And anyways, when we had the info meeting at the McBride Center here, I don't know, maybe a month ago, someone spoke up and said that there was three things. One of them was that they only paid $100,000 for that corner lot down there, that there was a backdoor meeting on it. Dang it, I just can't remember the third. I was wondering what. But I was just wondering if there was validity to those statements about the backdoor meeting or closed door meeting, excuse me, meeting with the proposed owners, them, and that, oh, and that was designated, zoned originally as affordable housing section. So affordable housing paid $100,000 and there was a closed door session pertaining to this, them acquiring the property. So I was just wondering, does this commission know any of those three items?
So we're not allowed to answer any questions right now. I could direct you to staff. We're not allowed to answer any questions. We're just taking information from constituents, and I could direct you to staff and if you have any more questions.
Okay, and so just for an update on that, how is that proceeding? Is that going in front of the city council for a vote anytime soon? Do you guys know where it's at?
Do not know, but I can also direct you to talk to the city staff, and they'll be more than happy to answer any of your questions.
Okay, Claudia, right? I remember her from the meeting. And so, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you all the way. How do I proceed with or follow up?
Claudia, you're gonna talk to city staff and assistant director, Claudia Vargas.
During work hours? Or what do you think, Claudia? What's convenient for you?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you can just contact me via email. I can give you my email account, claudia.garcia@cityofvacaville.com.
Can I get that written down?
Yeah, someone will be able to write that down.
Can I approach over there, or you come back?
Yeah, someone will be able to help
you there. And she can give you my email address.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for business from the floor before I close it? Seeing none. I will close business from the floor. We'll move on to item 8, consent calendar. We have one item on consent, which is the minutes from the February 17, 2026 meeting. Does anyone from the commission or the public wish to pull the item for discussion? Seeing none, do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar?
Motion.
I got a motion from Commissioner Beaumont.
Second.
And a second from Commissioner Dingman. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great, motion passes. We'll now move on to item 9, the public hearing. We will first hear a presentation from staff following the commissioner questions, and then we will open it up for public comment. Before we proceed, I would like to ask if any commissioners received ex parte communications for this matter. Does anybody have any ex parte to report? Great. Staff, may we please have the presentation?
Good evening, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. I'm before you tonight is a reprise of the Harvest Ridge subdivision. This is a request only for a tentative subdivision map. They're looking to subdivide a 9.91-acre site at the northwest corner of Leisure Town Road and Red Stone Parkway. This includes an environmental assessment and a tentative subdivision map. Project that we're looking at is located in the southeast corner of the city. It's part of a larger master plan development called Southtown. Much of the development has already occurred within phase 1, 2, and 1A, as well as Southtown Moody. If you go out there now, Southtown phase 3 is probably cleaning up with KB Homes finishing their construction. We're looking at that project site that's in the red boundary. So this project started in October of last year when City Council initiated a general plan amendment to change the designation from residential high density to residential medium. Following that, the applicant submitted a formal application to the city for this change, as well as the tentative map. The commission originally heard this project in January earlier this year, where the commission voted 7-0 to recommend the approval with deviations to development standards. This item was presented to the city council at a hearing in March last month, and the city council voted 5-1 with one absent to approve the general plan amendment and the zone change. They decided to take no action on the tentative map because of the deviation related to the driveway. So the applicant revised the tentative map and resubmitted that almost a couple weeks after that meeting, and that's what we're here to talk about. As a refresher, this is an aerial image provided by our media team that shows the project site as last year. The project summary involves the reaffirmation of the previous Southtown Environmental Impact Report that was originally conducted for this master plan. The tentative subdivision map hasn't really changed much. They're still looking to create 134 lots, which yields a density of 13.52 units per acre. It's still proposed for single-family residential development. The project has been revised to address the concerns related to the driveway depth. As you may remember, the original design had a shorter driveway along streets, which produced a number of concerns for the community and economic development department, fire department, and police department, as well as the city attorney's office. Those tentative map has been revised to remove that particular issue, and we'll show that graphic on the screen. But the project still requires some deviations related to reducing the city standard for intersection spacing, that's normally 200 feet, allowing the installation of water and sewer laterals and concrete for driveway and walkways, allowing the project to use 6 on-street parking spaces to serve guest parking, and then allowing the project to the option to satisfy open space requirements by contributing to parks. The general plan now, as it's been changed by City Council, is residential medium density, which allows 8.1 to 14 units per acre, and the existing zoning now, in effect, is residential medium density. Another aerial image of the site showing this project site. To the top of the screen is Leisure Town Road. To the right is Redstone Parkway, and then Scarlet is located on the left. This was the original tentative map that was proposed by the applicant that had those driveway issues. And this is the revised design that shows now one main central street called Kevin Drive as a preliminary name. And then off of that, branching individual private driveways that would be alley loaded, and then those garages fronting onto those alley loaded. What that does is allows a much deeper throat depth for those driveways and alleyways to funnel the traffic, and it gets all those driveways off of that main public street that would be Kevin Drive. So mentioned, there's 134 lots that would be for the single family residential development. There's 17 remainder lots. Those are primarily those private driveway alleyways, and then a couple of other lots for parking. Landscaping improvements are still proposed along Leisure Town Road with masonry walls. We've reviewed this proposal. It's consistent with the Subdivision Map Act, and that the site does have sufficient utilities and vehicular access for emergency vehicles to serve those future residents. There are a number of deviations from city standards and development standards that are noted below. This is a little snapshot of what those standards are. Staff has reviewed each of these standards. We're still supportive of them. Nothing's really changed. We're okay with them. Snapshot of the public outreach that's already been conducted for the project up until this point. The latest stuff since the Planning Commission meeting was the advertisement of the City Council hearing that started on February 21st for the March 10th City Council public hearing. And then we had a second reading that occurred for that zoning map amendment. Notification was provided on April 9th for this public hearing. The environmental assessment for this subdivision is covered underneath Section 15183 of the California Environmental Quality Act, which says that you can reaffirm those previous environmental assessments if the activity is within the scope of the previous EIR, that there's no new significant effects or no new mitigation measures, that the previous statement of overriding considerations is still applicable, and that the previous mitigation measures are applicable to the project that was originally adopted. Mitigation measures and the analysis was previously originally done in 2004 with the Southtown Moody EIR, but then subsequently done when we did the general plan update in 2015 and then a supplemental EIR in 2021 and an addendum for the housing element in 2023. All this to say is that the project meets the findings that are identified in our municipal code, and there's no new document that's going to be required for this. Short and sweet, our conclusion is that staff does support this revised design, and as conditioned, it meets the environmental impacts addressed under the previous EIRs, it meets the required findings as conditioned, provides more housing, and complies with development standards with the granted exceptions. With that, our recommendation for the Planning Commission is by simple motion approve the project with deviations subject to conditions of approval. That concludes my presentation. The applicant's also here if the commission has any questions.
Yeah, thank you so much for the presentation. Does the applicant have any presentation for us tonight? You good? Okay, thank you. Commissioner Beaumont.
Just one quick question, Albert, on the, could you put the site map up again? And you talked about having 17 common areas or something to that nature. Can you show me where they're at? Because I can't really point myself out to where they're at.
The areas are the alleyways, those are the driveways. Parcel A, B, C, D, that goes the entire stretch of the development. And so those parcels right there would be individual parcels. Those are the 17 remainder lots. They have to be recorded. They would be private property maintained by the HOA. And then there's a couple of other smaller lots that are right here for parking. There we go. There's a parking lot right on the screen there. Another parking area over there. One other parking area over to there. Okay. It's additional off-street parking that the applicants provided, all in total 17 additional lots that would be maintained by the HOA.
Okay, great. Thanks, Al.
Commissioner Banta.
Thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to thank the applicant and the staff for working together to come back with something based off of our feedback that everyone's agreeable to and still gets housing produced. So thank you.
Commissioner Dingman.
I just want to say thanks for the presentation coming back and to the applicant also. One other question I just wanted to potentially get an answer on was, so the utilities that are going to be built underneath the potential driveways and everything else, can you confirm again? So you said that's going to be handled by the HOA, or is there another fund? So if it's city utilities that are going underneath the driveways,
So on the screen, yes, the screen in front of you is a depiction of another development where the utilities are inside the concrete. You see the metal box that's in the middle of the driveway on the picture in front of you. It is an example, I think, over in Portofino development. That's the sewer clean out. So the city would maintain everything up until their property line. Everything that's up into their property would be maintained by the HOA and those individual property owners. So if we go back over to this map here, because you have 8 lots fronting on one grouping, likely what will occur is there'll be a cluster of water meter boxes that would be right along the public right-of-way, and then they would individually go up through that middle alleyway, and then the sewer would be not quite the same. They would just have one connection point that would stem off into the middle of the street, and then right before it really goes back into the alleyway would be a main sewer manhole, and then from there it would just branch out to the individual homes.
So any maintenance that would have to be done on that, if something had to be done, would the homeowner be responsible for that, any of that piece? I mean, can you explain that just one more time for me?
Correct, yes. So the homeowners now, if you had a single family home and there was a section of your sewer line that was impacted between the house and the back of the sidewalk, that'd be up the homeowner to find a plumber to clean out that section of the sewer line. Same thing if your water pipe burst on your property, yeah, then it'd be that property owner's okay. responsibility.
All right, thanks, appreciate it.
Commissioner Leroy.
Yes, thanks again for the presentation. Just to follow up with Commissioner Dingman's question, I believe I wrote in the packet that there was discussion that the HOA would be established to help cover costs that may be incurred because the set off was inside the property line when normally it isn't inside the property line. Did I read that incorrectly or?
No, the HOA is established to maintain the common areas, but also to manage if there's any replacements that have to occur within those areas.
But is that normal in a subdivision? Or is that separate because we've made potential allotments to go within the outside the normal parameters of the plan?
I would say the previous iteration was probably an outside of the parameters. This design that you see on the screen here is more of the normal that you'll find out in subdivision development. Portofino, we keep going back to that one. It's the same exact thing. They have common areas, driveways. It's already established. They have an HOA out there that is similar responsible to this stuff. So we're fairly confident that'll be covered by the HOA.
Okay. And is the HOA seated? This is my own. I'm not familiar with the HOAs, and there's different ones. Is it seated by the applicant to begin with, or did the homeowners begin the fund from the beginning when they move in?
The applicant's here to probably answer how the subsequent activities work. We have a condition that requires the applicant to establish an HOA and figure all that stuff out, and then provides the city evidence every before constructing any of the units.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? Okay, I will now open it up for public comment. Anybody with any public comment, please come forward. Okay, I will close public comment. And it's time for commissioners to deliberate and provide feedback to staff. Commissioner Beaumont.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank the developer for the persistence of coming back again and again instead of building apartments that nobody wanted and trying to hit the missing middle, and working with staff who did a lot of exceptions and deviations that we don't normally do. And I think with the missing middle and the low income housing that we need to meet, we're going to get a lot more exceptions than the rule for city standards. And I think we have to think outside the box now in order to do that. So I think this is a good starting point to do that, and I appreciate that from the staff and the different departments that did it. So thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Hampton.
Yeah, I'd like to sort of echo Commissioner Beaumont's comments. Really appreciate staff and developer working together. I think that is what we call culture in our community. And I think that's something that many communities sometimes lose. And I think that's part of the uniqueness of Vacaville. So again, I really appreciate staff and developers working together and collaborating to ensure that this progress, there was made progress on this development. I agree that, you know, versus apartments in this area, the local constituency in that area absolutely wanted something different. And you guys met that objective, which addressed the needs of those constituents. So again, thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Commissioner Hampton. Yes, I would also like to thank the applicant. I believe it was Commissioner Vargas and I, one of first meetings when this project first came up. And so the room was packed that night, and there were views on all sides. And so to be able to see persistence on your part and staff's part to continue to work together and to find a solution like this to where, you know, everyone seems to be in agreement of the project. So I greatly appreciate that. It's nice to be, just see this project get to this point, and can't wait to see it moving forward. So thank you to both. Commissioner Vargas.
Could you make a motion if that works?
Yes.
All right. By simple motion, approve the project with deviations subject to conditions of approval.
We have a first from Commissioner Vargas.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Hampton. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Vargas?
Yes.
Commissioner Banta?
Yes.
Commissioner Beaumont?
Yes.
Commissioner Dingman?
Yes.
Commissioner Hampton?
Yes.
Commissioner Leroy?
Yes.
Chair Wilkerson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Motion passes. Fantastic. Great job, everybody. Awesome. We will now move on to item 10. We don't have any business items this evening, so we will proceed to the department monthly report on the agenda. Item 11.
Thank you, Chair Wilkerson.
Yes.
I forgot my clicker, planning manager. So if you could help me click through the slides. Thank you so much. So a couple of city council updates. As Senior Planner Enault noted, the Harvest Ridge subdivision project went to city council in February and in March. In addition to that project, we also took the best ordinance to the city council. the municipal services review and the sphere of influence update, and also the general plan annual progress report. In addition to that, Director Aaron Morris brought forward a contract with Chabon Concepts to prepare a new economic development strategy plan for the city, which is really exciting. On March 24th, our staff also took the entertainment zone study session and a second reading for the best ordinance. And in April, we received the Bioville 2026 proclamation. Upcoming items for the Planning Commission, we have the entertainment zone ordinance that's coming to us next month, the Orange Drive Apartments and Retail Project, Vanden Gate Development Agreement, the general plan amendment process to update some zoning text, and the process itself, and then the CIP General Plan Consistency Project. Pending items include Sapphire Luxury Apartments, Rubber Road Development Agreement Amendment, the Vacaville Islamic Center, and the Northeast Growth Area Planning Study. In terms of our Building Division monthly reports, as of March, in that month compared to the previous month, we saw a slight drop in building permits that were issued, but we did see a small increase in single-family permits that were finaled and issued. So for our April numbers, we're actually up 104 building permits that were issued, which is really great. We're hopeful that this trend will continue on moving forward to this fiscal year. And then comparing March numbers to the previous years, we're slightly lower, but it looks like we're increasing, especially compared to what we saw this January and February. So also good news. Our monthly average, again, we see not too far off, about 200 or so when comparing our March numbers to last year. And again, it's a positive increase overall this year compared to previous months. In terms of solar permits in relation to building permits, solar permits have declined slightly, but remain stable. Our ADU permits, there's a slight increase of 14 in March, which is good. And then we saw a big spike, as you can see, in our building permits, which is really good. And then I'll pass it over to Planning Manager Bavand.
Good evening, everyone. In terms of current planning projects per district, District 1, we haven't had any new projects or approved ones. District 2, we received an application for field lighting for Kairos, and we actually had a neighborhood meeting several weeks ago in that community on that. The Barrel Room PCN, this is a wine tasting facility, and the request is to be able to sell alcohol, so they have to go through an internal process, and they're going through that right now. VCS Falcon Field Sports Complex, this is a project that's a facility that was approved as part of a larger master plan that was never built, and they're moving forward with it now. District 5, a lot of activity with Lower Loon Valley, neighborhood K2, L1, and C house plans. We're seeing a lot of activity continuously in Lower Loon Valley and some of our other subdivisions, which is good. And then Oak Grove Apartments time extension was also submitted, and then nothing for District 6. Advanced planning, we're still moving forward with a lot of these larger scale projects like the Peabody Allison specific plan. There are a number of studies that we need to do. MSR, that's still going through that process, and we're hoping to have public engagement second quarter of 2026. Entertainment zone is going to city council. There were a number of public outreach efforts and study session with city council on that. If you recall, we applied for the pro housing designation with HCD. We've had a couple of meetings with them to clarify some of the programs that we believe put us in a position to have that designation. And hopefully we'll get that, which would allow us to have more funding opportunities for us for affordable housing. So we're hoping that is going forward positively. East of Leisure Town, which is probably the biggest project that we're dealing with, that's still going through the draft specific plan and the draft EIR. Northeast Growth Area Planning Study, that's still moving forward. We're looking at technical reports on that one as well. And then the General Plan Amendment Streamlining, zoning Code Text Amendment, that's still that's going forward as well.
Thank you. And then just a couple of staffing updates. We're happy to report that our new economic development manager will be starting in May. So I think she's going to be a great addition to the team, and we're really looking forward to bringing her on board. In addition to that, we are planning to release recruitment for two assistant planners this month, hoping to move to interview next month. so all positives. We did lose a couple. It was not Demir. No, he is. No, they're on our current. It's a current project. So Demir, he's our long range planner, and he's still on board. Fear not. And that's all for our monthly report.
Thank you so much for the report. I do have a question for Assistant Attorney. We had a call today, and you gave me a good reminder about when the public engages with you of what we should do as commissioners. Can you refresh everybody for that, please?
Absolutely. Picked a bad time to eat my mint.
Sorry.
So, what we ask of our commissioners is just that, you know, a lot of projects that are brought up early, maybe in public comment or you get calls from your constituents or emails, are going to come before you as the Planning Commission at some point. By speaking to constituents in a way that might indicate that you're taking a specific position on a project before it has made it to you, most likely what that would result in is our office advising that you would have to recuse from that decision. And so we don't want that. I know none of you want that. You want to fill your role as a planning commissioner when it comes to time to make the decision. And so all we would ask is, if you're getting questions that are specific about timing on a project, scale of a project, what kind of approvals, anything like that, tell them, thank you so much for reaching out. Can I direct you to the staff member in charge of this project? We are always happy to provide whatever information we can to the public, but the right avenue for factual inquiries like that would be to direct them to staff. And, you know, feel free to reach out if you have questions about how to respond to someone. You can always call me or Claudia or anyone on the team. We're always happy to advise, but that's general best practice, is, you know, just avoid anything that might seem like you are taking a position on that project.
Thank you for the clarification on that. Commissioner Banta.
Thank you. My question is about the advanced planning, the pro housing designation. What was the feedback, and what it just says more information? So, like, what were the specific programs that they wanted more information on that would make us pro housing or not?
I don't recall the specific programs, but when we applied for that designation, we identified our certain programs in our housing element that we felt we could sort of move forward with and bring affordable housing to Vacaville. And I think what they've done is just ask for specifics. How do you plan to do it? How long is it going to take? So, and that is actually part of the normal process of that designation, is they're trying to find out whether we're serious or not, and if we are, what programs are we relying on to get us there. So I'm happy to send you specifics.
Can we get an update on what those specifics
are? Sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions before we move on? Seeing none, now's the time to item 12, commissioner comments. This portion of the agenda is for commissioners to inform each other of items of potential interest to other commissioners, such as interagency meetings or announcements as appropriate. Commissioner Hampton.
Yes, I just want to give a couple shout outs and kudos to staff. Was at the town hall meeting, and you guys managed that very, very well. I've been in very contentious board meetings and other community forums, and like I said, you guys did a great job. You were there in full force. It was nice to see your whole team there. So, like I said, you guys did a great job managing, you know, contentious and, challenging situation. So, great job. You guys really managed that well. Also, I'd like to thank the city for the opportunity to go down to Anaheim for a planning commission conference. That was very informative and very helpful. And so, again, had a very educated time down there. I can say being the rookie, but I'm no longer the rookie on the commission. So. It was a great experience and a great bonding time with staff. So, again, the final comment I would make, and I know you guys probably have, you have your rationale and strategic intentions, but I'm just curious, have you guys ever thought of putting staff on your agenda with the titles? You've got, obviously, you've got the commissioners on that, but I'm just curious with the headers on the agenda.
That's a great question. Thank you, Commissioner Hampton. We typically include staff that are presenting in the staff report, so we identify them. In the minutes, we do identify the staff that have attended that previous meeting, but we like to focus on the commission itself and not so much.
I appreciate that, I do, but I think it's great to identify staff with some of the roles because their information is in the content. It would be nice, for example, the gentleman here was asking some questions, who to be directed to. If that was on the agenda, maybe they could go directly to them. So again, just a consideration. Plus, I think it's well-deserved. Not only have you worked hard for your titles, but also the roles that you play, I think that would be helpful for the community. So just a consideration.
Thank you. We can discuss that in the follow-up. Thank
you. Thank you, Commissioner Hampton. We'll go to Commissioner Leroy.
Thank you. I'd just like to say I'm excited to be in my new role as a commissioner and appreciate the time and the trust. I also like to thank the staff, Claudia, Annie, and Nauticon for getting me up to speed over the last month since I got selected. I know that it takes time out of your day. You have other things to do and you're very busy people. So I appreciate you all taking the time to make sure I was ready for this meeting and future meetings. So thank you very much.
Commissioner Vargas.
First and foremost, welcome, Commissioner Leroy. I'm glad to have you aboard. Congratulations to our new chair and our vice chair, well deserved. Thank you to staff for a great presentation today. I much appreciate it. I'm curious, actually, I'm excited to see updates on the orange apartments and the retail and also the barrel room. I didn't know about the barrel room until I stumbled upon it walking to the main grape to go have a glass of water and Coke, for all that know. But it's exciting to see what we're doing with downtown, right? All I hear from constituents is, why can't we be more like Winners? Why can't we be more like Winners? And I think we're going down that direction. It's really, really nice to see it coming together. So kudos to you all. That's all I got.
Thank you. Commissioner Dingman.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks again to the staff. You guys are always prepared, give great presentations, briefings, and updates. So thank you guys very much for the effort. Very much appreciate that. Also want to congratulate Chair Wilkerson and Vice Chair Banta. Appreciate you guys taking having the willingness to lead us. And I wanted to just quickly call out this weekend, the Travis Air Force Base Air Show is happening Saturday and Sunday. I believe the gates open at 9 a.m. There's gonna be a lot of traffic out there. I think they're gonna be going through the main hospital gate. And the wing commander's taken, I think, a little bit of a risk just because all the operations that are going on out there. And there's been a couple communities that have canceled their air shows and bases. Colonel Schroyer, the wing commander, has not. So we're excited. They're going to have the Thunderbirds out there along with a lot of other folks. But, you know, please encourage friends, family alike, the community. It's a great way to support and celebrate not just our country, but the base that is co-located with us. So Saturday and Sunday out at Travis.
What do you need to get on base? You need
You need a real ID. Is what you need, or a passport, something like that. They are going to be checking IDs, and they are also going to be doing random vehicle searches. So they don't always do that in the past, but they're going to do that with all the heightened awareness and the things that are going on in the world right now. So,
thank you.
Yep.
Vice Chair Banta.
I just want to say welcome to our new commissioner, and thank you, everyone, for your trust in me, Vice Chair.
Commissioner Beaumont.
Yes, I'd like to welcome new Commissioner Leroy, and congratulations to our chair and vice chair, well deserved, and I'm sure you'll do a great job. And I'd also like to thank the retiring Chair Lightfoot, who did a great job leadership-wise and did a nice job as a chair. So thanks, Ralph. We appreciate you if you're watching, and we miss you. Thank you.
I'd also like to echo everyone's comments. Welcome, Commissioner Leroy. Going to be, see you jumped right in with some great questions tonight. Appreciated that. Staff, great presentation. Great job working together. And thank you, Commission, for the trust to lead us in 2026, 2027. With that, good night, Vacaville.